appears outstripped. Maguire Kane has stolen him to death. That's what he's there for.
Good time for Harry Kane to step up the 91st minute and score his second for the night for England and the pivotal one in the 2-1 win over Tunisia in their Group G encounter at the Volgograd Arena in the World Cup, the Russia 2018 campaign. Russell Milton to join us shortly.
You're rivaling Lucy Zelic.
Lucy's good. Her pronunciation's very good.
But can she do Mark Marquez?
Mark Marquez or Juan Martín del Potro. She can't do it like that. But she's very good, is Lucy. She's very good. And wasn't it nice to be able to watch the coverage last night as opposed to having to wait and see the error report on your Optus stream?
The Wheel of Death.
Thanks to our good friends at SBS, that audio. And they've got the vision for another day.
It's a 48-hour window.
It's
like a transfer period.
Gee, I hope it's for the rest of the tournament. That would be nice.
Yeah, it would be nice. The interesting story before we go to Russell Milton. There's a bit of controversy in the build-up to the Sweden-Korea game.
Yes. Yes. I know where you're going with
this. I'm not aware of this.
This is unbelievable.
Well, there's a feeling that the Swedes were spying on training for Korea in the build-up to the game.
Spygate.
They were.
Well, they were. Yeah, well, anyway, they were.
Bit of Spygate.
So the coach of the Koreans took it a little bit a step too far. Maybe not a step too far.
He's working the advantages.
So as a result of them spying, he got all the players to wear different numbers.
Shin Tae-young, our man, the coach of South Korea.
Put different shirts on, yes, and changed the formation a little bit. And the reason was, we switched them. This is a quote. It's not me. This is a quote.
From
the coach of Korea, who is Korean. We switched them around because we didn't want to show our opponents everything and to try and confuse them.
Makes sense.
Yep.
They might know a few of our players, but it is very difficult for Westerners to distinguish between Asians, and that's why we did it.
He didn't go that we all look the same.
That's
line,
basically
did he?
What
that's
he said.
Pretty much what he did.
It's basically what he said, and he used it to his advantage because Europeans and Westerners can't differentiate between the faces and the players. That's what he said. Unbelievable. That is, I saw that yesterday too and had to read it again. And then what I did was checked to other sources to make sure that wasn't just one of those stupid website
fake news stories.
Yeah. And it's legit. That's what he said. Do what you got to do, I suppose, to find an advantage. It wasn't good enough, though, for the South Koreans. Sweden winning 1-0 in that Group F encounter overnight as well. Full-time, another penalty for Sweden. Got the job done there in that clash. The other game was Belgium 3-0 over Panama in last night's game. That was another Group G encounter.
They're a real sneaky Belgium. They've got what they call a golden generation going at the moment.
Have they?
Yes. They've been heavily backed to make a deep run in this tournament.
Right, I wonder if the Poms have. But Russell Milton would know better than us to work out whether or not they can go deep into this World Cup, considering what he's seen so far. Russell, good morning.
Good morning, boys. How are you? Good to speak.
Nice to speak with you, mate. Great to have you on board. Harry Kane, we talk about him every week when Whitey just keeps pumping up Tottenham and Jim as well, I suppose, when he's here on a Monday or a Tuesday. But he did it again for the national team as the captain. It must have been a wonderful moment for the crowds watching at home when that happened.
It was brilliant. It was only the third time in history that England have won a first-round opening game in the World Cup. So, you know, it was one of those where it went for us this time, and I thought it was fully deserved. Kane, as we've said, you know, many times, as you said this season, that you know, he's done well for Tottenham, and I was always saying, could he transform his form into the England side? And he did tonight. He had two chances, really. I think the Tunisians didn't let him go. I mean, if you saw some of the clips and that from the corners and things, it was more like wrestling. And, you know, he could have been two or three penalties at times. You know, they've got this VAR system, and yet they didn't refer to that. They could have had a couple of penalties easy on Harry Kane. And yet they let him go twice, and he found space. Ball landed to him, and there were two goals. So, and obviously the crucial one was right at the end. And the captain, as he is, led from example. And England, I think, got a well-deserved victory there, which was very nice from, you know, around the country.
Yeah, Russell, it took a good Tottenham man to get you over the line, to be honest. Nobody from Arsenal would step up and fill the void, of course, but they definitely got the result they needed. And you mentioned VAR. What's the response been like in England there regarding the VAR? Because it's had a big effect on a number of games already in the tournament.
Yeah, generally good. I think most things they've generally got right. I mean, there's been a few penalty decisions in there. You know, Sweden's one today. They went back to it and gave a penalty, which was the correct decision. So it's there to obviously enhance the game and make the referee's job easier. It's going to have its teething problems. It did in the Premier League, didn't it? And for some of the cup games that it was used for in this season at the back end. So, you know, it's still early days for it, but I think generally it's been okay and most decisions have been got right. The only problem is how long do they, you know, take to decide over decisions, and that's what we just want to clear up and make things a bit quicker. But no, it's been okay. It's been well received, and nothing tonight went against England. I'm sure, you know, if we did wonder what the people in Moscow were doing when you see, you know, two arms around Gary Kane twice and a number of England defenders that come up for corners. You know, because obviously it was a big problem. So you'd have thought they would have looked at that more every corner and punished them once, and then, you know, they probably wouldn't do it again. But generally well received, you know, it was a great result for England. Played some lovely football first half, could have been 3 or 4 up, and then Sells gave a penalty away. But overall, yeah, you know, got the job done in the end, kept going, and it was great for such a young team that they are to get that, you know, that first result, and the young manager, you know, in manager experience, to get that first result, and hopefully they can kick on from here. And they've got Panama next, who you would think they would turn over, and then that's them qualified. So, you know, that would be nice.
So, Russ, with Harry Kane, there's been reserved praise, but he's always been seen as someone that still has a little bit to prove before we could say that he's an absolute superstar. Does this sort of thing take him to the next stage, or is it more scoring in Champions League matches? Is it more about Tottenham winning a title for him to sort of be validated as one of the best? What does he have to do?
Yeah, he's getting there. I mean, there was a few years back when he first came on the scene, he did really well, didn't he? And people were going, is he a one-season wonder? But now he's 3 or 4 seasons at Tottenham. He's done really well. You know, he's signed a new big contract, hasn't he? So, you know, there's people that are obviously from bigger clubs than Tottenham, believe it or not, that are going to come and look at him, I think, in the future. And, you know, he's certainly stock's going to raise. If he's up there in the top 2 or 3 goal scorers this World Cup, you know, I'm sorry to say, boys, there might be some real big fish coming in for him. But, you know, we've always wanted him to do well at England. He's done well at England, actually. I think he's got 15 goals in 25 games, which is, you know, great. Obviously, you know, there aren't many players that are on that sort of ratio. You know, Gary Lineker's, Wayne Rooney's, are sort of the ones that are up there. Bobby Charlton from years back. But he's certainly up there. And if he can stay fit, keep going, he's got a great, good lot of young players around him. They're only going to supply him with a lot of chances. And I think he's going to, you know, go from strength to strength, and that would have done him a world of good. He's the captain. That's probably given him another little boost. You know, hopefully we need Harry Kane here in England to obviously do well for England to do well. And, you know, he's our sort of focal point and star player, if you like. So big things are expected. And I think, you know, this will, for you boys, Tottenham, it'll take him into next season with a lot of confidence.
I was interested in what you just said then about how if he does really well in this World Cup, then the club starts circling. Now, I thought Tottenham were quite clever in that they got his signature before the World Cup on a long-term deal. But what does that actually mean? Does that give Tottenham fans confidence that he will stay long-term, or does that contract pretty much mean nothing?
It means that his fee will go up, I think, basically. Okay. You know, it's like when, you know, Pochettino signs a new contract. All it means is that, well, anyone does really, that the fee will go up, and it benefits the club. I mean, there may have been something in place where I know it before where they've said to players, look, sign this. We've done you good, you've done us good, so we all benefit. People will come knocking for you, whatever price it is, because you're doing well. You know, so you benefit, we benefit. Everyone's happy. You go to a new club, you get more money there. You know, we get more money because the fee's gone up. So everyone's happy. And if he's got that sort of relationship, which I think he has with Tottenham and Pochettino and Daniel Levy, that's probably what was said. So, obviously, they wouldn't want him to go ultimately, I wouldn't have thought, because you know, Tottenham want to win the league and stay in the Champions League. So, that's the crux of it, really, that his fee will go up the longer the contract he's got left.
Russell, what was the expectation on England leading into this tournament? And after seeing the first game, has that changed?
It was mixed, Jimmy. Really, normally in England, you know, we had the golden generation, all that Beckhams and all that a few years back, Gerrards and Lampard, and we're expecting big things this year. It's a young side, young manager. The potential is there, They showed that potential a lot in the first half, very good. You know, the fluid football and the running from midfield was excellent. Tunisia couldn't handle them. They should have been 3 or 4 up. Then let themselves down a little bit for 10 minutes and Tunisia come back in. And second half was all England and Tunisia just looking for the draw, really. And I think we deserved it at the end. So I wouldn't say we're shouting from the rooftops about it, because England have let us down so many times, you know, in the past, but when big things have been expected. But, I do think they could, if things go right for them, people stay fit, people like Rashford who can come into the side and do well, make an impact, as well as Sterling's and, you know, Ali's and Lingard's, they could go quite far. But, you know, the one worrying thing tonight was, as good as they were at times, was they should have finished off Tunisia quite early on. And as the tournament goes on, they're going to have to, you know, take the chances that they create against the bigger teams. But quietly confident that we could go quite a way, actually.
At least they're making those chances. And you're right, that first half they were scintillating. And that first 30 minutes, particularly, Russ, today against Tunisia. And you look at the Group G where they're in, and we've talked about Belgium and Panama before, 3-0, Belgium were at full control against Panama. So all they probably don't even need to win another one. They draw the next two, they'll probably get through on the strength of what we've seen so far. You wouldn't imagine Tunisia would beat Belgium. And then it's just them beating Panama. So you reckon at some stage all they need to do is get two draws and that'd be enough, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I would have thought so, yeah. I mean, Belgium look comfortable, don't they? I mean, they're obviously the big team. You know, we're not really expecting, I think, to finish above Belgium. You know, if we beat Panama, they should beat Tunisia. And then it comes down to the final game. Go into that with a bit of confidence. Who knows, you know, if you beat them. And then you never know next round, you know, what's going to happen. You know, because you look at some of the big teams are losing, aren't they? Germany lost, Brazil drew. You know, there's been some real funny results. France didn't look great against you boys, did they? You know, Australia aren't really unlucky to not come away with that with a draw. So, you know, there's teams are still finding form. Some have hit form early. It's just about, you know, trying to grind out a few results, get a bit of form, and then kick on as the tournament goes on and find your form if you can during the tournament and not peak too early. So, yeah, you're right. Two draws will probably do it. It's just a sort of a battle out now, really, with us and Belgium, probably, who's gonna finish top. Belgium in the driving seat at the minute with a 3-0 win.
Have you seen the winner yet, do you reckon, Russ?
Sorry?
Have you seen the winner yet? Any of the teams stood out to you to suggest that they would be logical favourites, or is it just too tight to tell at the moment?
Yeah, too tight, I think. It's too early doors. I mean, we haven't seen everyone yet. I think we've seen the major boys. Portugal with Ronaldo looked decent. That was a great game the other night, 3-0. Yeah. You know, he's got a hat-trick and he pulled one out of the bag from with a last-minute free kick. Fantastic goal. You know, people like him come to the fore. Argentina are a good side, I think, but didn't really click. You know, Messi missed a penalty. So it's a real up-and-down show at the minute. You'd expect at the end of the day, like we do in the Premier League, the cream coming to the top and getting through and getting into the last eights, you know, and then games then are decided on literally nothing. They're so tight. Margins are really, really tight then. And need a bit of luck and a bit of quality to win games. So it's a good tournament, I think, boys, don't you, so far? I mean, the one 4 years ago was pretty drab. But this one, I think, has had some real good games, been some good goals, some surprises. And hopefully it carries on like that over the next 2, 3, 4 weeks.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing it all unfold as well. And with you guys getting the win, getting through, there's plenty of interest over here from that perspective as well, watching England through the World Cup as well as Australia. Good luck, mate, to your boys. We'll look forward to catching up with you soon.
Yeah, thanks, lads. Pleasure. Cheers.